Let's turn in our Bibles first of all this morning to Psalm 104. And Psalm 104 is one of the Psalms, as well as one of the many passages of God's Word that will set forth the truth of Scripture that is the basis of what we are taught in Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And Psalm 104, as will be very clear when we read it, is a psalm concerning the providence of God, God's care of the creation and of the world and of the creatures that God has made. So let's read a part of Psalm 104, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honour and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. You see, in those verses, the teaching of the truth of God's creation, God making the earth. And then what follows emphasizes God's providence, which follows from God's creation. Verse 6, thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place where thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. That really is a little more concerning God's creative work. Now concerning providence, he sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the leaders, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. Verse 17. Where the birds make their nests, as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor unto the evening. So Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. To read the word of God to that point. And as I said, that forms the basis of the instruction we receive in Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. So if you turn in your green books to Lord's Day 10 in the front, then we'll read Lord's Day 10. Page 8. So page 8 in the green book that you just received. Page 8. Voilà. And let's read Lord's Day 10. First question is, Ano bang ibig mong sabihin sa providentias ng Diyos? What dost thou mean by the providence of God? And the answer is this: the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And the second question, Anuba ang bentar para sa tin ang malaman na ang Diyos ay lumika at sa pamamagitan ng kanyang providensya ay pinanatili para rin niya ang lahat ng bagay? Answer 28, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that they cannot, that without his will they cannot so much as move. Providence, providentia, that's the truth that is set forth here in Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Providence is a truth that is of personal importance to every person here, to every old person, to every young person, to every man, to every woman. Salakiyat Salalai, to every adult and to every child. And that's because the providence of God is both the reason and the explanation for everything, Salahat, that happens in your life. Everything. Our lives have many troubles. Every one of us here has our daily share of disappointments and many reasons for sorrow. Just think of what you experienced, what happened to you in this week that has just passed. Just think of what might happen to you this coming week. Many unknown things could come into our lives. It's the providence of God, the truth of the providence of God, that gives us comfort. Why is it comforting? That's because of whose hand it is that reaches down and touches our lives and touches us every day. And whose hand is it? It's the hand of God, who is our Father. I'm yours, and he is our Father. Our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the truth of providence is gospel. Magandang balita, good news concerning our salvation. Whatever God does, we know is for our saving good. So let's look together at the truth of the providence of God, noticing three things. He preserves all things, he governs all things, and then the advantage of this for us. When we speak of the providence of God, then what we're talking about really is this. What is God's relationship to this world? He made the world. He created it. We confess that. We believe that. He created the world and all that is in it in 6 days. He made it simply by speaking the word, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be mountains, and there were mountains. Let there be animals, and there were animals. God created this world. The provenance follows from that. It has to do with how God relates to the world that He created. It really is the answer to this question. What does God now do with this world? What is He doing in this world? How is God involved in the world that He created? Now some say God is doing nothing. That's what some believe. And that's true of the teaching of deism. Teaching that received its development and setting forth especially in the 16th and 17th centuries. Deism is the idea, or has the idea, that God is not involved in this world. God made it, but God made it just like a clockmaker takes a clock, an order sun, and he makes it, he winds it up, he puts it on the wall, and then he just lets it go, run by itself. That's how deism says God created the world. He made it, he wound it up, he set it in motion, he put into the world all kinds of built-in laws, built-in powers, such as the laws of nature. And now the world doesn't need God to run. The world is running on its own. And God is basically, according to deism, God is basically uninterested and uninvolved in the world. What does God say? I created it. The world will run by itself. The world will take care of itself. The world will be fine without me. That's the teaching of deism. Deism is present still today. It is present still today by those who say that very thing. The laws of nature are what determine what happens in the world and in the universe. The laws of nature, they control life. The laws of nature control the growth of every creature. The laws of nature control birth and aging and sickness and disease. The laws of nature are the explanation for typhoons and floods and every other thing that occurs in the climate. The laws of nature are the explanation for the population and population growth of the world. That's one way in which deism is still alive. Another way in which deism is still alive is when people speak of luck and chance. Kapalara ka sana, chansa. They say that all events in this world happen arbitrarily. No one is controlled. Fate, chance, that's the explanation. Things happen just because they happen. There's no purpose or goal. Things just take place. That is not the truth of the providence of God. That does not describe the biblical teaching concerning God's relationship to this world. Besides that, it is an attack upon God, saying that God is distant, God is uncaring, God is indifferent to the world that He created. That, I say again, is not what the Bible teaches. So what does the Bible teach us? Well, the Bible teaches us, according to Wednesday 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism, that God, first of all, upholds this creation. God did not abandon the world. Hindi in Vananam Josam Sam Libhuta. He did not let it go. He did not leave things to chance. He did not let the laws of nature take over and let nature take its course and say, let's see how things turn out as nature takes over. He did not either hand things over to men and let men run the world and take care of the world and determine what happens. But God cares for the world. He upholds every creature. And God does that because God is a good father. A good father. Abutim Amah. Very good father. He brought this world into existence, and just as an earthly father cares for the children that he brings into this world, so God as Father cares for the world that he created. He cares a lot about it. He is very interested in it. He is very involved in it. This is his world. He created it for himself, for his glory, and the world and all that happens in it is very important to God. Very important. Because in that world, in this world, God is carrying out his purpose to save his church. That is expressed very beautifully in the Psalms. The many references can be cited concerning God's care of the creation. But just to look at the Psalm we read, notice verses 13 through 15 of Psalm 104. He watereth the hills from his chambers, the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. God does all those things. He cares for his creation. That, first of all, is God's providence. And in a way, it's mind-boggling. In a way, we stand before a marvelous truth concerning our God. To think that God cares for every creature in this world. That right now, God is caring for you and me. He's also caring for the ant that might be crawling up the wall. He's also caring for the cockroach, the aphids that might be crawling in the other room. He's caring for that. He is. He's also caring for all the other people that are in the world. God cares for every single creature. Amazing power of God. We stand before God who is Almighty, Almighty, the Almighty Father of His creation. But then secondly, God also governs or rules His creation. That's another, that's the second aspect of God's providence. Angava nam jols nam pamamahala nam lahat nam pagai. He rules all things. This is the aspect of providence that most people deny. They will not accept it. They will not believe it. They cannot accept the truth. And here's where the problem is for them. They cannot accept the truth that God does not just or simply allow bad things to happen, but the truth that God is the one who sends those bad things into this world. He makes those bad things happen. That's what most will not accept. They will not accept that God mentions the things, or God sends the things that are mentioned in this Lord's Day. That God sends rain and drought, that God sends fruitful and barren years, that God sends health and sickness, that God sends riches and poverty, that God sends devastation and floods and typhoons, that God sends thieves and rapists who murder and attack and injure and kill people, that God puts terrorists in airplanes, and he has them fly those planes into buildings. They will not accept that God does that. They will not accept that God controls a gunman taking hostage of a bus and then killing people in that bus. They will not accept that God's hand controls them. So they come up with a different explanation for all things, an explanation that takes God away, takes God out of the picture, and they say this: God sends the good things, but he does not send the bad things. God sends the things that are mabuti, but he does not send the things that are masama, bad. He does not do that. He wouldn't do anything like that. All bad things, all evil things, all harmful things, they say, come from the devil. That's their explanation of how God is involved in this world. This is the era of dualism. Dualism. We considered a little while ago the era of deism that denies that God cares for his world, that God is involved. The era of dualism denies that God is in absolute control. Dualism is the idea that there are two distinct and equally sovereign powers present in this world, God and the devil. Erhon mangalakas at mangakapan yabihan ang kanilangan labanan ng Diyos. And they speak of God as a chess player. But they will say God is a master chess player. He's the best chess player there is. He's involved in this world, and his involvement in this world is like a chess game. He's on one side, the devil is on the other side as his opponent. As things happen in the world, the devil makes moves, and God makes moves. God sometimes attacks the devil, for God has the upper hand. Other times the devil attacks God, and the devil has supposedly the upper hand. But God is a better chess player than the devil. He's a master chess player, they say. And even though at times the devil surprises God, and even though at times God has to react to what the devil does, when the devil sends war, the devil sends sickness, the devil sends cancer, the devil sends terrorists, the devil sends those who hijack buses and murder people, even though God has to react to the devil doing those things, in the end, God will win. God will outsmart and God will outmaneuver his opponent. He will defeat the devil because he is wiser than the devil and because he is more powerful than the devil. He in the end will win the battle, so that in the end God, this is what they say, in the end God will make everything turn out okay. Everything in the end will be as God wants it to be. But that is a serious error. A serious error that takes away from God's people their comfort. Our comfort. It's not the providence of God, as we are taught in the scriptures. It does not properly describe God's relationship to this world. It destroys God's sovereignty. Destroys God's sovereignty. Jo I kamaliya nan sumisira saganaps na sofuranya nan jos. If many, or even most creatures and events that take place in this world are outside of God's power and control, God is reduced to being simply this, a reacting God. Doesn't have control anymore. He's just reacting. Reacting to what the devil does. Reacting to what man does. That's not what the scriptures teach us. Amos chapter 3 verse 6. Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? If there is evil in a city, God did it. God did it. Psalm 39, where the psalmist says, as he experiences many difficulties in his life, he says, I was silent because God did it. It came from the hand of God. Isaiah 45, verse 7, where God says, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I do all these things. God does it. In Psalm 104 that we read, verse 29, where it speaks of God being behind death. God kills. Verse 29, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. God does everything. And therefore we confess when we think about God's involvement in this world, God's relationship to this earth, God's relationship to the whole universe, we say God is in control. God is sovereign. He governs everything. He actively sends evils as well. He's not simply a God who in the end defeats the devil and in the end makes everything turn out all right, but he is a God who makes everything happen. He sends it. He causes it. And as far as all the other powers in the world, they have no power apart from God. The devil cannot lift a finger apart from the hand and will of God. Just read Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. That's true of all the world of wicked men. Every power and force, every man, woman, and child, every world power, all the rulers of this world. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart, the king's pulse is in the hand of God. God is in control. Therefore, walang nangyayari sa pamamagitan ng kabalara. This has advantages for us and is comforting for us as the people of God. So that brings us to our third point. Comfort because all things come from the hands of our Father. Our Father does everything. Our Father, our God, who is our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. This means that everything that our Father does, He does through Christ. He has given Christ all power in heaven and on earth to rule everything. And it also means that everything God does through Christ, He does with a view to the good of His people, the blessing of His people, the salvation of His beloved. He sends ordinary things and He sends extraordinary things. He sends great things and He sends small things. He sends pleasant things and He sends unpleasant things. He causes sickness and health. He causes life and death. He sends colds and cancer and pain and accidents and murders. But everything is part of God's work of leading us to glory. Jesus Christ is at work. Jesus we can confess, therefore, we know that all things work for our good. We know that all things are for our saints. Evils may come our way, but God means it for good and means it for our salvation. And that means, therefore, that we are able, as the Catechism itself mentions, to be patient in adversity, to be thankful in prosperity, and to place all our trust in our God. Matiisin sa kahirapa, and magpasalama sa kaganaan, and ipagkatiwala natin our trust in God's supports. Patience, we all need that, because patience is the spiritual virtue that God gives to His people. Spiritual virtue that enables the child of God to bear suffering, to endure suffering, to endure and bear that suffering without becoming impatient with God. That is, to bear that suffering without becoming bitter against God, without becoming angry at God, without complaining to God. That's patience. Spiritual grace that God gives us to bear the sufferings of this life without bitterness or anger or complaint. And it includes as well that we are patient with God Himself, patient with God, because we realize God is in control, God is doing all things, and He's not doing them haphazardly, but He's doing everything with a purpose. And that purpose is His own glory through the salvation of His church. God is doing that. And patience means we are patient with God and we let God do His work. We realize God has a plan. We realize that God is wise in what He has planned. We realize that God's plan is perfect. So we let God do His work, believing and knowing that what God is doing is right, is good, is the best. Patient with God as He works out His purposes in our lives. And then thankful in prosperity. Not taking anything that we have been that we receive from God for granted. We often do that. We take our life for granted. We take our health for granted. We take our family for granted. We take our income for granted. We take our friends for granted. We take the church for granted. We don't fully appreciate these gifts from God. But we know God gave them. God is in control. is the God who gives us every good gift that we need. And we ought to be grateful to Him who provides for us, who cares for the creatures that He has made, and especially grateful to God that what He gives to us is what He has determined is for our good. We have exactly what's good for our salvation. We're never able to be thankful knowing that God provides it for the good of our souls. And then thirdly, we are able to put our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, knowing that because He is God, because He is Almighty, because He is in control of all things, including the devil, nothing at all can separate us from His love. Love you. His great love for us in Christ. And may we therefore be thankful for God's sovereign providence, God's sovereign control, and praise Him for it. Bless all the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, our God in heaven, again we give Thee thanks and ask that through Thy word we might be blessed. Strengthen us through the gospel of Thy grace, Thy power, Thy sovereignty, Thy love, and assure us that we are Thy beloved and nothing can separate us from Thee. In Jesus' name.